Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, everybody.
Good. Hello, everybody.
Good morning, Arizona.
Good morning, Belle Starr.
She's waving. Silver.
Sister.
Sexy gal, not. That's how it goes.
Backslash.
She's going to call in right now and find out if we're even live. Because sometimes we do the show and we're not even live and we're just
talking.
Having a good time.
But it doesn't even matter because we'll talk when nobody's listening.
We usually do that anyway, quite often. Every day. So welcome to Weekday Wednesday, May 18th, 2016.
How was your weekend?
Fantastical. How was yours?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
We're, got some projects in the works, you know, busy, pretty busy, but fun. And I know me and you were just talking about little hopes and dreams and things happening here all over the United States.
You gotta have them. If you don't have hopes and dreams, what do you have?
Nothing.
But you do have Weekday Wednesday, everybody.
To look forward to with your host, Belle Starr and the Cannabis Kid.
That's right. Each week.
Each week,
it's
every Wednesday
scary.
Morning from 8 a.m.
to 9 p.m. 9 p.m.? No.
Oh, sorry, 9 a.m.
I can't do a million-hour show. I can't do it.
And if you miss us, you could listen to us,
yeah.
Our past episodes.
Listen to our past life.
Our past episodes on Apple. iTunes.
Oh, iTunes on Apple.
Just grab an apple and hold
grab
it up to
apple.
Your ear.
Yeah, and see what happens. It's like the little shell for the seashore. You
and
know,
if you hear us,
yeah.
Please call in.
Yeah, at any time.
At any time. We would love to hear from you.
If it's not during show hours, call 911 because you're probably not supposed to be hearing us. Well, or maybe you're, well, I don't.
I don't know if
I
you
don't
should
know.
Call us now if you're,
you're
calling, telling people call
911. Well, they're listening to us through an apple. They may have been over-dabbed, like we've got.
Ooh,
this great article.
What is
the
O-D?
O-D. No. Don't let your friend dab the D-T-F-O. Dab the
D-T-F-O.
Yep.
Dab the F out.
Dab the F out. Yep.
D-T-F.
Oh, do we have it? Oh, do we have a buzzer? I thought we did. Yep. So you're going to D-T, or you're going to dab the out. Something like
oh,
that.
Good.
I don't know. Wait
to buzz it, Belle. Wait to buzz it.
I tried to buzz it, but it was kind of an hour and a half long buzz. So it's kind of like,
You need more like the bleep.
Bleep, bleep.
So if you're at home or driving in your car or hanging out with friends, give us a call.
Say the number. I dare you.
I always forget.
I know. Come on. You can.
818.
No, 815.
815. 616.
646.
646.
Oh, my God. You just totally messed me up now.
You
now we don't
what?
Even know the number to call. 646-915-8421. Come on, you guys. Oh,
today.
No. It's a Monday for a Wednesday. What
whatever
was
that was just snuck up on me.
That was Kosher Kush. Now we have. Everything should have hash
with
on
brown
it.
Sugar.
Brown sugar. For people that say they don't get high anymore, I don't know, man. You're smoking too much of the same stuff.
Yeah,
I think so.
I like to say adventure out, and I think that's one thing that I lay open all the time.
And you know what, and that's what Americans, I'm just going to blame it on American
okay.
society, so we seem to do a lot. It's like you go to the grocery store, I did this yesterday, And I got the same bread and the same eggs and the same milk and the same cereal. And this. I did buy a different cheese. Oh, there's a clap for that. Get your own freaking cheese. I did buy some different cheese. And it was yummy. And it's from Ireland. It's a creamy cheese and aged cheddar. But seriously, you do this all the time. You do the same things over and over and over and over. So branch out, get a different strain, and go crazy.
And from what we know, each strain has a different effect on the brain,
the body, the chemistry, physiology,
terpenes,
all
the cannabinoids, different mixtures, different compounds. You get different things. So we always say, try out different things.
Don't be scared.
There's a lot of pharmaceuticals out there.
There's a lot out there. I mean, there are a lot. Yeah. But,
That was my...
Well, there are a lot of pharmaceuticals, but not as many strains as there are in for cannabis. That's for sure. I don't
know.
Well, not that we know of. I know they're brewing them up in their brouhahas in the back with their white coats on now, but And I'm sure there are many wines.
Tons of new strains.
I'm sure there's
in the next.
I was just flipping through this High Times magazine that we just got, and it's now on sale at Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come on down, folks, and get certified. It's $270, and that's everything. If you're on food stamps, it's $195. If you're renewing, if you're getting your card again and again and again and again and again, we'll give you a discount. Will the state? No. Will Tumbleweed? Yes, we will. Voted number one health center. No. Certification center, education center in the entire planet. I'm just going to go that far. Thank you very much for that. But come on down. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You can call them directly and book an appointment. 520-838-4430. Or you can go online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com.
I forgot.
I know he's blogging funny faces right now. He's trying to find a funny face to put on. I know they're all cute. So come on down, support your local cannabis organization and support your state and tell them that, hey, we need our meds. This should be our right. We want our meds. You can come down and sign the petition that we hold. It's AZFMR, Arizona's Mindful Regulation Petition. Very much for the plant. And very much for the people, which we like. So come down and sign that and get that on the ballot so that we can legalize cannabis mindfully. I like it. What else? THCTucson@gmail.com. You can email us. We're freaky freaks on our email. We're like, hey, how's it going with the phone in our face? And we're like, we need those Google eyeglasses. And we're just like, yeah, I'm watching you. What's going? Nothing. Yeah. And your fingers are going all over. You're like, hang on. Nope. Yep. Nope. Is that me? No, not you. Nope. On my head. I can't handle it, technology. I just got to get back to the wilderness. Oh, what happened? We've got some roots going on there. All right. So it's a crazy, wild, and fun cannabis news hour. So
yeah, we're getting wild right now. I was just going through some things here in High Times.
So crazy. That's what I was saying. You can buy High Times at Tumbleweed Health Center. We've got a couple of the past editions. You might want to come check it out. Look it on down there. Come buy it. Yeah. It's great. Beautiful little cover. It's a ganja kebab right on the cover.
Yeah, gourmet cooking.
Yeah, it's got a nice bud of blue dream, and then a pepper, and another blue dream, and a pineapple, and we've got an onion, and another nice nug. So I don't know how that would fare. It looks like those vegetables were pre-cooked in the making. Yes, some vegetables were harmed in the making of that photo. Sorry. So we love our High Times. We just like to go through here and flip through. There's some fun stuff, always some tiny little... Where's our tiny little article? Did my thing fall out? Oh, it did. My little place marker fell out. What do you got there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It says, Aurora uses $4.5 million in marijuana taxes money to fight homelessness. Yeah.
Aurora, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up.
Let's hear it. So with, all the excess money that is happening in Denver, there's a lot of different ways that people... Yeah.
All over.
I haven't heard. I know there's a lot of things happening in Washington, but, I mean, we've been hearing about Denver and Colorado and things like that are happening in these different areas. So once areas that were, not as clean, prostitution, drugs, a lot of that demon things. Well, these cannabis and the cannabis industry is coming into Denver and really cleaning up everything. And by cleaning up, they're buying in the empty warehouses, they're buying the empty storefronts, and they're creating these really nice places where people can come in and get their medication safely and in a clean place. And knowing that they're getting quality medication in these areas. So the city of Aurora is giving $4.5 million marijuana tax revenue to help fight homelessness. City officials predict that it will collect about $8 million in marijuana taxes by the end of this year. This is about $3 million more than the 2016 budget had planned for. Each city is allowed to decide how to allocate its own pot revenue. So the Aurora City Council came up with a unique way to spend this. At first glance, the classroom upstairs at the First Presbyterian Church looks like any other. Filled with the typical elementary school age children, they meet there every day after school from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., where they have a snack, two activities together, finish their homework, and hold class discussions. These kids are incredible. They're so resilient, said Megan Vinzenza of the Colfax Community Network. The children inside the classroom are dealing with a lot more than other children their age. They're all homeless. They could be living in a motel. They're living in a car. They're living in a shelter. Vinza said, CCN provides services such as outreach meals, support supplies for more than 8,000 homeless people in Aurora every year.
Wow.
As the city grows, so does that number. The resources are getting more and more scarce, Vinson said. Many of these homeless populations live among the East Colfax Avenue corridor, where there are dozens of cheap motels. The old buildings are slowly being torn down and replaced with new developments, leaving families on the streets.
City officials have taken notice of the problem and are stepping in to help. The City Council approved $4.5 million of Aurora's marijuana tax revenue to be allocated to homeless programs like CCN over the next 3 years. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
To get this amount of money from the city is unprecedented, Vicina said. Groups dedicated to serving Aurora's homeless community will use the funds to continue to expand services for the rising homeless population. This is a very happy part of my life, Victor Oviedo said. Oviedo and his brother participate in the after-school program. They were born in Honduras and stay at an apartment in Aurora, but it's not a stable housing situation. Oviedo said he enjoys going to CCN every day because he gets opportunities to do things and take field trips that he otherwise wouldn't. My mom doesn't have that much money, he said. It allows them to not worry about where their next meal is going to come from or how stressed out their parents are going to be or where they're going to sleep for tomorrow night. They get to just be kids, Vicina said at the after-school program. The rest of Aurora's marijuana tax revenue will go to fund transportation projects, a new recreation center, and a handful of other local nonprofits. That's flipping awesome. And how sad is that? I'm so sorry that any child has to worry about stuff like that. That just flips me out.
Yeah, no child should ever have to. That should be the thing that they're worried about.
I know.
You know, one thing is there's so many families coming to Colorado because of what, cannabis is, you know, helping out so many children that have seizures and other ailments and diseases. And I wonder how many of those families are just coming there hoping to find something and how many is adding to the homelessness that's already kind of happening. I'd like to see numbers that just, you know, people move.
Most of the families that are uprooting their entire life have got a little money, I think so. But you're right.
But I mean, there's those families that are coming here in hopes to getting their child and can't find.
True. And city officials have also said that there are just homeless people coming now because they can go get their weed at the 7-Eleven next door. You know, so a lot of, you're probably seeing that in Washington State and, you know, other places as well.
It's going to be very interesting how this just all rolls out.
I laugh, I giggle, because I think about our next future president, and you said this is going to be very interesting. Yeah,
it is. It's going to be very interesting.
Folks, I'm just going to say, if you're going to vote for anything, vote for cannabis, people. We have so many people that come into the health center and they're like, oh, I can't sign the petition. How come? I'm not registered to vote. And I'm like, but you're in here getting your cannabis card. Okay, so if you're going to vote for anything, vote for weed, people.
Right. If you're gonna, if you're a weed. Patient, your name
your
should
right.
already...
It's your right.
Yeah.
No. You don't know your rights, you don't have any. I love that. Someone said that at Tumbleweed's House Center one day. A patient came in and he walked out. He was reading our tiny little constitution we have in that little book in the library. And he walked out and he said, well, you don't know your rights, you don't got any. It's like, well, darn straight. Boy, howdy. If you don't know him, you don't got. I love it.
Yeah.
All right. A marijuana economy. According to new projections in the 2016 Marijuana Business Fact Book. Did not know there was such a thing. There we go. That's already on order. The legal cannabis industry will have reached $44 billion. Can we just say that again? $44 billion. We get a laugh. We get a harp. We get a game winner. We can break the glass on that. Heck yeah. Legal weed is predicted to generate $14 billion to $17 billion in 2016, with sales contributing $3.5 billion to $4.3 billion to that sum, an increase of 17 to 26% over 2015 figures. And incredibly, recreational pot sales could surpass medical pot sales nationwide by 2018. Well, that's a no-brainer. The Factbook's forecast for 2020, based on a relatively uninhibited marijuana market, with the caveat that an anti-pot president taking over in 2017 could drastically reduce reefer revenue.
What?
That ain't gonna happen, folks. Sorry to say. I don't care what Prezi gets in next. If it's Mrs. Prezi, Mr. Prezi, they're on the weed wagon. All three
they have
of them.
They have to be. This is
all
the way
three
they...
of our candidates.
Yeah, all three of them.
But only the number one.
This
because
is the weed show this morning. Well, don't get me started on my
where
political
the
route.
Because... F Bernie Sanders because F this.
No, no.
Beep, beep, beep.
Bernie Sanders because fuck this shit.
Oh, there you go. And there you have it, folks. Right out of Kansas kids now.
Yeah.
All right. These articles are coming out of
it's what's
our
happening.
High Times magazine. Grow Canada. Canadian cannabis activist Dana Larson is doing his part to promote pot across the Great White North. Larson announced that he plans to mail out marijuana seeds to any Canadian who pledges to grow openly and freely.
Oh,
oh my lord.
Them.
I'm moving to Canada right now. Where the heck
you
is
you just spoke words to Bell Park.
Wow, we're all moving to Canada. You're right there. You're 5 minutes from
here. You're there. You're there. Everybody can be there.
Open your mailbox. Seeds for everybody.
You get seeds.
You
get
seeds. Everyone, the neighbors are jumping outside.
Someone's out there just throwing seeds everywhere.
Larson is encouraging cultivation, especially on private property, and has agreed to send up to 100 seeds to anyone willing to engage in this act of civil disobedience. His goal is to keep up the pressure on Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who has pledged to end pot prohibition and legalize recreational cannabis in Canada. Canadian comedy legend Eugene Levy also backs Trudeau's proposed pot policy. While promoting his sitcom, Schitt's Creek, Levy stated that he spelled S-C-H-I-T-T-S. And do you know who he is? Does everybody know? You do. You've seen him in Eugene was the dentist in Waiting for Guffman.
Yes.
You guys, best
in
show.
Waiting for Guffman is best in show. Oh, love that show.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mighty Wind.
Christopher
Guest, I know you listen to
me. For some of you millennials, American Pie, he's
yeah.
the father.
Oh, we love you.
Yeah.
We love you.
He's the father of the boy.
Eugene.
Yeah.
We welcome you on our show.
Come on.
And Canadian cannabis activist, Dana Larson. Hello. Anyway, while promoting his Levy stated that he thinks marijuana legalization is a great thing and would solve a lot of problems. Alcohol is a lot more dangerous to me. And that's the truth. That
Hello.
Is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Beware of the cat, it says.
Beware of what cat? Oh, cat.
Yeah. Coming soon to the Laugh Factory. Comedian Cat Williams has put together an impressive streak of run-ins with the law. And while at least one busted ended with marijuana charges, it's not Pop that's got the famous bunny man in hot water. Most recently, Williams, 42, was busted with what authorities called large quantities of marijuana. However, Kat's stash was only uncovered when cops executed a search warrant after Williams was arrested for kidnapping and assaulting his bodyguard, Corey Dixon. According to the police, Dixon was beaten with a bat and choked for refusing to engage in criminal activities directed by Williams.
Come on, people.
Come on, Williams. Williams game, man. That's a tough one. A week earlier, Williams was arrested for assault in Gainesville, Georgia, where he allegedly punched a pool store employee.
What?
But that's not all. Kat is also accused of robbing five women at gunpoint in Atlanta and faces charges for a 2014 fight at LAX and for teaming up with Serge Knight to steal a camera from a photographer.
Oh, my gosh.
Safe to say weed is not mellowing out, Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams,
did she say he robbed someone?
Five women at gunpoint. Five women at gunpoint. So, pick on some on your own side.
Well, I just
give them
know
all guns.
Why
let's,
is he
no,
robbing
let's just
anybody?
Go back. Well, forget that. Forget the reason. We're going back to 1884. Let's just go back to this time now. If you're gonna rob someone, you big sissy, give them all guns. You know
you
what five
sissy
women would do with
you
guns on your sissy on your little meaty butt? Yeah, that's right. That's right. There'd be glass to break in. That's right. You go down. All right. Smoke more weed, Mr. Williams. You need to calm down. You know he needs some Karmalicious.
Calm down.
Get some Karmalicious. Somebody get him Karmalicious quick. That'll knock him out. He won't even be. He'd be like, hey.
I can't believe all that stuff is happening.
I know. Squash Dash.
I was like, you don't have enough money. You're out there robbing other people.
Squash Dash. Say that 10 times. Squash dash. Smuggling drugs in the United States is big business, and successful smugglers have a long history of using creative solutions to beat the Border Patrol, from homemade catapults, launching packages of pot over the border. That was a good one. They shaped them like footballs. That was pretty funny. They launched those suckers. I just want to know who was over there catching those. And, like, knocked them out. So
they probably had to,
they had a giant, like, ribs broke.
If they, like, lined that whole little area with, like,
around.
A whole bunch of old mattresses.
And they just spring-loaded.
Back right over the wall?
With football helmets on.
But,
guys,
yeah, things,
get safe. Get
be safe.
Safe.
Be
all
safe.
Right. Unfortunately, a recent bust in Nogales, Arizona revealed a decided lack of imagination. Border operators discovered nearly $3 million worth of pot hidden in a shipment of Italian squash. Yeah, however, this particular smuggler didn't attempt to take advantage of the green veggies to camouflage the weed. Mm-mm. Instead, the pot was simply packed into 240 beige bundles.
Aww.
The size of a haul, which weighed around 5,700 pounds, was concealed within the load of squash being transported by a tractor trailer. Oddly, this isn't the first time that someone got busted in a Nogales attempting to use this scheme in 2013. A man was arrested trying to sneak 1,900 pounds of weed across the border in another squash shipment. Oh, my
it
Lord.
It was his watermelon. We should have that as a question.
Yeah, I wonder
what variety
of squash they were using. Yeah. It just looks like Italian squash, they said. It was probably for, like,
the previous
tomato
one,
sauces.
Yeah.
I bet that's exactly what they were going to do with that, was mix it into the sauce itself. That this was... You guys ruined the lives of 90-year-olds wanting to cook homemade, long-standing Italian sauces for their grandkids, and look what you did. Way to go, guys. Look what you just did.
Ooh.
I know, I couldn't imagine. I know, I'm surprised you did so. Okay. Indonesia wants to kill you with drugs. The Indonesian government is notoriously brutal in its dealings with drug offenders. Previously floating, the idea of using ferocious crocodiles and piranhas to guard an island holding people convicted
Whoa.
Of drug crimes. I'm sorry, but that makes me laugh. Crocodiles and piranhas?
Well,
you know what? We are going
I've
back
seen
to
the
organic
movie.
Ways, and it's really all natural. I mean, if you're going to go.
I mean,
you know.
Is it inhumane?
Well, natural selection, if you're going to jump into that. Okay, so...
You chose wrongly.
Both times. However, the country's National Narcotics Agency managed to stop off even that comic book villain scheme with an exceptionally cruel and unusual punishment. force feeding dealers the very drugs they were selling until they overdosed and died. Sorry, you got a laugh clap on that. Because let's try even a golf clap. Yep, even the snoops are saying we kind of like that. I don't know. That's pretty jerk them up to Jesus, Hank. That's kind of crazy.
That's pretty intense.
Eye for an eye. What they say back in the day, you don't steal a horse.
But you know, some of these...
You don't cheat on a wife. All right, we won't list the four major.
Well, you know, there.
Offenses of the old West.
In some of those other countries,
and you don't.
You get your hand chopped off for stealing.
Oof.
So.
What about? I mean, you're going to get your hand chopped off for giving people really, really bad drugs? Okay, so.
No, you're going to have to eat all those bad drugs.
NNA spokesperson Lamet Pravati attempted to rationalize the monstrous measure. We need to be serious because drugs are the enemy. But even if that were true, Indonesia's medieval drug laws failed to distinguish between addicts and dealers, so the country's $4.5 million substance abusers can be sentenced to the same deadly fate.
Mm.
Interesting. And while Indonesia is the fourth largest country in the world in terms of population, who knew, drug rehab is extremely limited and sketchy. One of the few prisons that offer treatment employs a Scientology-based program. So if the crocodiles and fistful of force-fed heroin don't kill you, Tom Cruise will. You get a heart, too, on that one. Oh, you can't even hear it. Here we go. We'll do it again. Another harp. Boy, they're playing. Tom must be getting old these days because he's playing some serious reruns for Tom. Tom, you need to smoke more weed and get out of that club.
Relax.
Don't do it. Oh, don't make me sing 80s songs. Oh, what in the world? Okay. Here we go. A prison of pot. A Southern California company hopes to convert a former prison into a marijuana grow.
Which I think is such a great idea.
They're going to use it as a cannabis oil processing plant as well. The Central California city of Coalinga is considering... offering ocean-grown extracts to the 77,000-square-foot Claremont Custody Center into a facility for the concentrate company. The 500-inmate jail, which undoubtedly once held pot prisoners, was shut down in 2011 when it lost state funding. While the venture would bring about $2 million in leasing revenue and taxes to Coalinga, as well as 100 full-time jobs with benefits, the local sheriff opposes the plan, claiming that the transportation of concentrates could cause issues for law enforcement. Yeah, California doesn't like concentrates. They really don't. Arizona could care less what you do with your plant.
You know,
a plant is a plant is a plant.
The point is...
Oh, I love it. Plant is a plant is a plant. All the anonymouses know what I mean out there because they say a drug is a drug.
Right.
So a plant is a plant is a plant. We can use it.
It is.
We can use our plant.
All of it in its full form.
Coalinga City Councilman Patrick Koff said he was more pragmatic. People are hurting. We're talking about 100 full-time jobs and no dope in the streets.
Sorry, I just
I'll have to turn my hat sideways on that one. Mayor Ron Ramsey is reportedly also supportive of the idea. And Ocean Grown has agreed to security measures, including background checks and cameras that link to the police department. As of the writing, Coalinga officials have delayed a final decision in order to conduct further research.
You know, it's funny how we're trying to justify this to our government and show them when they're probably the ones. Just saying, folks. I mean, if we can say that it gets it off the streets and we tell them it gets it off the streets, isn't that the biggest form?
Taking it off the streets. I like it. It's a new Disney song.
Get your new solo album from Belle and Cannabis Kid. Bringing back all your good oldies and some newbies.
Read them. Okay, main shame.
I wasn't ready for that.
I know. We had to stop because I was going to get out my mandolin and you don't want me to play mandolin and take me.
I do not want
you
to do that.
No, you don't. So you better...
But maybe I do. I don't know.
No, you don't. Just read about Maine. I'm sorry. Maine, James.
Petitioners in Maine failed to gather enough signatures to place the legalization measure on the state ballot in November. The measure is dubbed an act to legalize marijuana required 61,123 valid voter signatures. Oh. But despite campaign workers submitting nearly 100,000 signatures, the petition ended up about 10,000 short.
I'm so sorry, Maine.
Keep on working at it. It took us a long time, too.
Okay, keep reading.
You stop it. Signatures of
State.
Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap's office would only validate 51,543 out of the 99,229 signatures submitted. However, David Boyer, the Maine Marijuana Policy Project's political director, believes that 17,000 of the signatures were incorrectly invalidated. Dunlap's office invalidated them because of the signatures of the persons who notarized the petition page did not match the ones that the state had on file. Complicating matters further, the notary in question has a 2007 conviction on ethics violations related to his notary practices.
Hello?
Come on, folks.
Have you heard that guy?
You got to know who you're working with. This is business. Boyer says that Maine MPP will not appeal the decision, as the 17,000 signatures in question would be more than enough to put the measure on a ballot if were validated.
My Lord.
And that's it, folks. You know, this whole thing of miscounting of votes and signature invalidations, and I just don't understand what our country, I mean, it's blatantly right in front of us, folks. I mean, it's happening in our presidential candidacy. It's happening with measures that we're trying to pass for people to be better,
healthier, live longer. Come on.
I am so just, where
our clientele is 90.
Oh, my gosh.
90s, 90-year-olds. I want
to slap you in the face.
Twice. I'll slap you back.
Me and Belle slap you both.
Take it off the machine. Okay, pot and pregnancy. Here's a little article. People.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah, we've got to find some more sound effects. but we have a lot of calls from people inquiring about.
Every day.
Pregnancy and cannabis, and can I get certified? Is it okay if I use it while I'm pregnant? Because there are a lot of younger people that are coming in that are really nauseous.
Yeah.
And they can't eat, so they're losing weight, and you're supposed to be gaining a little bit of weight for the baby.
Should be having.
What about the baby? They need
yeah.
the cannabis.
They need their cannabis.
You know, maybe the bong, B-H-A-N-G, not the bong.
The drink.
But the drink. And that's just the seeds, the stems. You know, it's an Indian, old Indian drink that the women have been giving
you. A little toke is not going to hurt anybody. It actually helps the baby.
Is it medically safe for pregnant women to use cannabis? A study on this highly contentious issue seeks to determine if there are legitimate links between marijuana and conditions like fetal growth restriction, hypertension, and stillbirth. The research will be conducted by the University of Colorado's and Schutz Medical Campus. The responses of new mothers participating in a survey will be compared to the sample of their postpartum umbilical cord, which will be tested for cannabis use and frequency during pregnancy. Dr. Tori Metz, an obstetrician at the CU hospital, will develop the survey. She noted that more women are now willing to report marijuana use in the clinic where she works. Although previous studies sponsored by the U.S. government have found negative associations between pot and pregnancy, other studies with larger sample sizes conducted in countries like the United Kingdom and Netherlands and Australia have found no evidence of fetal harm from cannabis use. Wow.
Now, there's a really great article. It's an abstract on PubMed, and we can post that. It is the 5-year follow-up from the rural Jamaican children whose mothers who used marijuana during the pregnancy. And this goes back to the woman that was
Melanie Dreher.
Yes.
I did it.
I did it.
5 years.
I remembered it.
Dr. Melanie Dreher. I can go home now. I'm done. Show's over. Bye.
Boop, boop. We banked. We banked after that question, too.
Yep. What were you saying? You're leaving dead air. You cannot do that.
Leaving dead
in
air.
In radio space, you can't do
you
it.
You were talking about
decades
Melody.
Decades behind the times. While many states are introducing legalization or decrim laws, that's decriminalization, folks, and Missouri state senators attempting to ramp up charges for people arrested for pot. What? State Senator Wayne Wailingberg sponsored a bill that would impose a charge of tax evasion on anyone busted for possessing weed without tax stamps. So I bet they're going to make the tax stamps like before, but just not sell them. If that sounds familiar, it's because this tactic was used by the federal government to crack down on pot users in the 1930s. The Supreme Court found the law unconstitutional in 1969. The bizarre law would make it illegal not to pay taxes on the drugs you possess, which are illegal in the first place. So you have to buy illegal stamps, possess your legal taxes, so that your legal drugs will be legal, illegally, but not really. Wailingford's bill requires tax stamps for people with more than 35 grams of pot or any cannabis plant. While other states currently have tax stamp laws on their books, legal experts doubt that they will hold up in court. And while Wailingford also praises the financial boon that tax stamps represent, that money pales in comparison to what a legal, regulated market would do in Missouri. Yeah, duh. Hello. Just legalize it and let them have it. Okay. What do you think?
Yeah.
Where are you going? All right.
Where are you going?
Where are you going? Where are you at, folks? If you want to call in. Here's the correct number. We won't do that to you again. So it's 646-915-8421. And if you want to chat with us, we dare you. Press #1. That's that little hashtag. #1. Or press 1. Just hit the number 1 button.
Just one.
We'll know that you're waiting to say something live and on the air. I know it freaks people out. You can go to tumbleweedsouthcenter.com and you can tune in that way. It takes you right to Blog Talk Radio. I think you can even listen live right from the website. But if you miss the show, go to iTunes. Woohoo! Because we're there. You know it. We are that cool. We're in iTunes. Or
can you can
that
listen on your Blog Talk if you're already in. If you're already on your Blog Talk, you can definitely go pull back up.
Go to Facebook, go to Twitter, go to LinkedIn,
love us
go
all
to
then.
MySpace, go to Pinterest, go to Instagram. What's that one? Yelp. Google. There's one more.
Find us.
And Weed Maps. Get out there. There's another one that I will tell you about in a minute. I'm not going to sing anymore. NBA. J in the middle. J-Y. J Wood. Oh, no. He said, Jay Williams, another Williams. I'm just so scared to even read this, what another Williams is doing. A former guard with the Chicago Bulls and current ESPN analyst opined that as much as 80% of current NBA players smoke pot.
Yeah.
That means 8 out of 10 of his NBA buddies that he's hanging with are passing joint around. And the other two already did some. Williams believes that players should be able to use cannabis, which they prefer to legal but addictive prescription drugs. Yeah, I know a lot of people that use it, Williams said. It's something that the whole world is becoming more progressive with, so it's about the time that the NBA does as well. Williams was the second overall draft pick in 2002, but had his career cut short by a motorcycle accident. He was prescribed painkillers and became addicted to OxyContin for over 5 years. While cannabis helped Williams end his addiction, he acknowledges the stigma that still surrounds pot. When you say marijuana, you get a reaction. Ah, the gateway drug. Unfortunately, the NBA isn't progressive on pot. Players testing positive for marijuana are subject to mandatory treatment, fines, and suspension. Dang, lame. What year is this? NBA? Come on.
NBA.
Yeah, don't be so silly, you guys. It's 2016. 17, 18. And they also come up with they have a section for accessories that they support. And here's a fun one. Weed-inspired fashion, Just Beachy, and an herbal chef silicone trivet and tray. So check it out. It's a little
fancy.
It looks like a little tray you can put your
waxes down.
Let's see what it says. Hey, chef. Add a touch of weed whimsy to your kitchen with the Herbal Chef Pot Leaf Trivet. The heat-resistant silicone protects your counter and tabletops from hot pans while you cook up cannabis treats to share with your 420 loving friend. The Herbal Chef also offers a silicone tray that's perfect for controlling potions and portions and potency. Say that sentence. It controls portions and potency. Whip up a batch of mini cupcakes or divvy up your cannabis-infused butter into individual packets to freeze and use as needed. The trivet and tray are stick and heat resistant up to 445 degrees, dishwasher safe, and 100% BPA free. Wow, that's a fun little thing. That's awesome. So it's just like a little cupcake holder tray that you can, you know, pour your candy in, you can pour your butter in, you can pour your cupcakes into, your cookies into. It's a mold, basically.
Non-stick.
It's a non-stick, BPA-free mold, and then your Herbal Chef little hot pad right there. You can get one of those as well.
Those are fancy little things there.
There's
so many things coming out for your pot cooking, pot culinary, grow. I mean, we always tell everybody we're in the basement floor.
Expanding,
getting bigger. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
So we're just seeing so many things.
You got to be careful, though. And here's a little story just about that. Never been dabbed. It says we all have our first dab story. It's usually a very memorable event that you will struggle to remember for the rest of your life. Well, mine was actually at the Cannabis Cup when I got dabbed pretty good. But I didn't do too much of a dab. I did a slight dab so that I wasn't like this guy in the picture was laying on the floor drooling. And for me, it was just really like it was intense. So I just kind of sat back and took a lot of pictures. It was really fun, actually. Dabbing should be fun. So, yeah, it was fun. Dabbing should be fun. And with a little caution and awareness, you'll probably have a great time. This shit's really strong. Dabbing is a concentrate, and it can be upwards of 90%+ THC, which is the euphoric aspect of cannabis, which will get you really high or intoxicated or overwhelmed.
Extremely intoxicated.
Extremely intoxicated. On the other hand, you may end up giving your friends an epic story that they'll embarrass you with for years to come. Let's review some common concerns facing the first-time dabber. Let's not look like the guy who's drooling on the floor. And friends don't let friends get DTFO. Don't do it. Do you smoke weed every day for real? If you didn't answer hell yeah to this question, then there's a really good chance that your first dab is going to end in the DTFO zone. See the picture. Consider that the average dab has about as much THC as an entire joint. If you aren't smoking several joints a day, then even a small dab is probably going to get you a little sideways. We recommend you build up a long-term daily pot habit before taking the waxy plunge. DTFO, this is a story. This is a sorry state of affairs when it happens in a public place. It's like being drunk and passing out.
Dab the bleep out is just...
Sometimes it can, it can even happen to the seasoned dabber. 1 minute, everything's fine. The next thing you know, you're waking up from a long, deep dab nap on the floor. Getting dabbed the fuck out, DTFO, is kind of like being abducted by aliens. Oof. You lose some time, you wake up in a strange place, and have a hard time explaining to the people exactly staring down at you what the hell just happened. The dab sweat.
The moment is here. Your first dab. Inhale, exhale, cough. Cough, cough. Perfect. Looks like you're going to make it. Then all of a sudden, it feels like someone just turned up the heat. Don't panic. This is normal and actually a wonderful level of highness.
Cough that for that one.
So stoned that sweat starts pouring out from your brow. Have a glass of water, focus on your breathing, and keep your head off the floor.
Keep your cool, man.
Rig and torch awareness.
Okay.
It's important.
Explain what a rig and torch is, though, because people out there are going, what the hell is
a
rig and a torch?
So your concentrates come in in a candy, Jolly Rancher state, sometimes even in a...
Peanut brittle.
Peanut brittle state.
Sometimes brown sugar state.
A lot of you know it's out there.
It's just the way they extract it. It's the form it comes in. Some of it's like
some
gooey.
Some can shake
some
it from
hard.
It. Yeah.
Some of it's like buttery, which they spell B-U-D-D-E-R.
Not
and
to be confused.
Really like brown sugar.
Right.
Hash. Some of it's hard. So the rig that they're talking about is the instrument, bong-like instrument, that they're using to ignite this.
Mm-hmm. And what it is,
the torch is your fire.
Right, is what heats up the apparatus element that you're actually going to lay down on your piece of wax, dab, butter, or concentrate. And it heats it up to a degree of where it actually combusts into a vapor.
Mm.
And then you are able to inhale that vapor as you would a joint or at a very... large amount.
And careful amount. Read that. Oh my goodness.
Being too stoned isn't the only danger the newbie dabber faces. Dab rigs and torches can be dangerous and should be handled with care. If you're a first-time dabber and aren't sure how to operate the equipment, do not be too proud to ask an experienced friend to help you out.
Be amongst friends.
Awareness is crucial to the dabbers and dabbers' back. Put the Buddha's hands.
Spatial awareness is crucial.
Sorry.
It's critical.
It's critical.
It's a critical tool in the dabber's bag. Put on your Buddha hand, move with purpose, and always be aware of what's too hot to touch.
You don't want your first dab story to be your visit to the emergency room or to treat your gnarly torch burns, which is really scary. I mean,
saying, be careful, it's hot, people.
And you're working with a little small propane tank or however you're doing
it. And
this.
You don't have to do it that way. I mean, that's scary for people. You can put a little bit on your weed or have someone else help you with a lighter, or you can light a little part of the instrument, this little nail part stick that sticks up, and then you put that on there, and it's so hot it just melts it and creates its own vapor. Like, it doesn't have to be scary.
It's
just
like,
kind of more for the folks that are
right. Yeah, it's getting a lot safer because it has to be correctly done for everybody. I think it has to be on an equal level.
And speaking of correct and equal, watch your dosages. We're going to talk about this probably every show. We still have 12 and a half minutes. I'm sorry to put you through this. But even Ms. Cheryl Schumann was agreeing with me the other night. I was up on Facebook reading some posts, and someone was posting another thing about dosages and how 10 milligrams is, you know, even starting with 5 milligrams is fine. And I just wrote and said, hey, come on, people. We need a dosing guide. 5 milligrams for someone who's never used anything is way too much. Way too much cannabis for them. That can really wreck them and make them not want to ever come back to cannabis again. It can be too much. Yeah. It might be the perfect amount. It might not be enough. But we need a dosing guide. We really do. And I say, you know, we always hear go low and slow and just start small. Half a milligram to a couple, get it in your system. Don't freak your system out. You don't want to have an experience that you're not going to welcome and that isn't happy for you. You know, some people take too many milligrams and they'll sleep, they'll get nauseous, they get the sweats, they can get anxiety if they're already prone to it, heart palpitations. So there are negative effects with anything that you put in your body that you're not used to. And that you're taking too much of. So be careful with dosages. Talk to your daily dosage friend. Talk to someone who's an experienced user. Because like I said, if you're not saying, you know, do you smoke every day for real? If you didn't answer hell yeah, then even dabbing for people that aren't smoking every day but call themselves, you know, users can be heavy.
And
a lot
of the edibles are being made with these concentrated forms of THC.
I thought my dab was 56%. I thought that was high, but they're like they're like 90-something percent these days.
And you know, brownies are being made from these. I mean,
they're infusing it, which is great. It's a great way to infuse. It's an easier way to use it probably, but it's strong stuff. So, you know, if you get a 100 milligram candy bar,
no one should be taking as much as some of those things. And it's really hard because you get a whole candy bar, and in your mind, it's really the way how America has said it.
No, they're going to eat the whole thing.
They eat the whole thing.
Eat it.
You
eat
the
eat
whole
it.
Thing.
And your, quote, bartender, quote, I hate that term, the person behind the counter's hopefully helping you with stuff. It's like, yeah, man, just eat half then. Oh, you've never tried it? Just eat half. Oh, just take 50 milligrams instead of 100.
Right. I mean.
Yeah, freak someone out. Yeah.
It almost reminds me on how they do the individually wrapped prunes. Like, if you're going to have a candy bar, chop the candy bar up and say, you know, bits and pieces of candy bar, and it's in individual wrapped, and you eat one, and it says, if you eat more than this one, I know there's the works, but some of this is not packaged like that.
I always tell them, yeah, and even the little gummy bears, the 10 milligrams,
uh-huh.
I said, just bite the head off one. Try that. Sorry.
Eat his body later.
Bite the head. And then wait. Just don't eat anything else. Don't wait an hour and eat more. Don't wait 3. Just try that for
right.
the day. Just leave it at that. If you don't feel anything like major, that's fine.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's good. You don't want, you like when you take your Tylenol and aspirin and Excedrin and ibuprofen, you don't want to walk around town going, hey man, I'm on Excedrin. Right home. I just my Tylenol just kicked in, man.
Perfect example, Belle. Perfect.
Love when my aspirin kicks in, it's killer. I'm just like, you know, everything's like real shiny. No, man.
Yeah.
7-minute abs. No.
You're so right. You're so right on that.
Just take a little bit, people. And tell us your opinion. If you want to write in, blog in, tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. You can call in. We dare you. We love that. 646-915-8421. Shoot us an email, thctucson@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions. If we know the answers, we will. If we don't, we'll make it up. The long stone. Some new dabbers may find that they get very high, go to sleep, wake up, and are still very high. The dab high can have a real stick-to-your-ribs quality that the first-time dabber needs to be aware of. So don't start dabbing the day before a new job or a court date because you may find yourself too high to rise to the occasion. Be careful, folks.
I have actually had a lot of THC in my system. And the next day, you definitely feel a little bit of that. Ooh.
Purple haze.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little slow slower.
Motion. Yeah, it's a little slow-mo.
Yeah.
It's a little slow-mo.
But nothing compared to the pharma hangover that I usually got from pain pills.
Oh, or alcohol.
Or
holy,
alcohol.
Holy
oh.
Toledo.
I mean, you're just a little slow that day.
Yeah.
You know.
Just kind of like.
Then that's the, you know.
Waking up slow. It's like a Sunday.
And that's the prevention. You know, that's what you're going to get. If you do that much dab the night before, you never feel that way if you just take a couple bong rips before the night before. For sure.
Yeah. No.
Never.
Not usually. But if you over-dab.
Well, if you were over-dabbing with Carmelition.
Oh. Wow. You just
holy
probably. You might sleep for 2 days.
DTFO.
Holy.
And then add some other random things on the back.
Carmelicious.
The F out.
Yeah. So did you know in Tempe, that's right up in our neck of the woods,
sure
there's a dispensary
is.
Trying to open next to the ASU campus.
Wow.
Healing Healthcare is attempting to open a dispensary in Tempe, Arizona by the Arizona State University's Carson Golf Course at McClintock Drive and Rio Salado Parkway.
Wow.
The hopeful dispensary, is arguing that the city of Tempe wrongfully exercised a zoning regulation to block their opening. Healing Healthcare 3 claims that a member of the Board of Adjustment, David Lyon, has a conflict of interest as reported by AZ Central. A second appeal is scheduled to be heard May 25th. Lyon is employed by Smith Group JJR, a company currently retained by Arizona State University for development plans. Jeffrey Gross, a representative for Healing Healthcare 3, said, "This conflict is made all the worse because Mr. Lyon was the acting chairman and had the ability to direct the discussion and the outcome of the vote." In response, David Lyon said, "Smith Group, JJR, has well over 1,000 employees and many clients. I have not ever done any projects for ASU, and I am not particularly aware of projects that Smith Group might have for ASU." Lyon also claims that his vote was based on facts and city regulations alone. If a second appeal is rejected, Healing Healthcare 3 will move forward to Maricopa County Superior Court for additional attempts.
Interesting, because I wonder if it's a matter of feet, as in, you know, calculating mileage in feet, how far they are from ASU, how close they are, how far or how close they are, because there's a stipulation on
how close you can be to a school.
The exact amount of feet you can be to a school or anything like that. So, and they might just well be within it, and maybe this, they rezoned or did something. Who knows? It sounds a little sketchy to me.
You know.
Sounds sketch.
Yeah. And the way that other sites work and how, you know, ASU is a big, it's a big supporter of Mesa and Phoenix up there, and if they don't want something, they can figure out a way out of that.
Yeah, Arizona State always figures that out. Well, check out what they didn't figure out. An NFL player donates $80,000 for medical marijuana research.
That's incredible.
NFL player Eugene Monroe has openly advocated for NFL players to be able to use medical marijuana in lieu of opioid painkillers for quite some time. And recently, he donated $80,000 towards researching the effectiveness of medical marijuana for football players. The research will be conducted by the University of Pennsylvania and Johns Hopkins University. That's fancy. Monroe said, as a player, I'm not allowed to use cannabis, but I've been prescribed opioids for various injuries. They work, but they're very dangerous and highly addictive. Monroe has previously urged the NFL to remove marijuana from the prohibited substances list, reports Philly.com. Researcher Marcel Von Miller said, we're doing two studies to start. We'll be examining both current and retired NFL players to understand the impact of cannabis or cannabinoid use on recovering from an injury. In response to opioid addiction in the NFL, Monroe said, opioids are ruining lives across the country, and as athletes, we're not immune to those perils. This is an issue that goes beyond any personal career implications. I understand why other players may be adverse to speaking out, but our health is worth it. That's right. Our health is definitely worth it. Oh, my Lord. $80,000. That's awesome. Way to go.
Well, you know, with all that stuff coming out from, you know, Concussion, that movie,
yeah.
You know, just putting out there what this kind of sport does to the brain, the body.
Well, not this sport. Soccer, they're trying to eliminate the headbutts, you know, in soccer. And, well.
Can you do that?
Yeah, they're going to have to do that because they're getting concussions from that kind of crazy playing.
Silver Sester.
Oh, no. Somebody has it. Well, it's like taking the football out of football, you know? She. All right. Well, if you want to listen to this program over again, we dare you to do that, too. We don't. Sometimes we put it on and we go, oh, change that quick. We don't want to do that.
Well,
go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. Check out the radio link they have on there. You can go scroll down a bit. You can see some of the guests that have been on, just a partial list. But there's also a little mini player on there. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Blog Talk Radio. It's installed right there. You can just click play, and there's like three or four shows right there, including the current one, I believe. And you can check it out. Go to iTunes. Mm-hmm. Check us out there. There's over 4 years of shows. Holy Toledo. Yep, and it is that time.
A long list.
Taking it off the
conversations and
interviews, train reviews, product reviews,
yes.
People reviews.
Always follow us on Facebook.
Yep.
.com/THCAZ.
Yep, that's THCAZ, I think, is a lot of our flashbacks.
Right. Just look up Tumbleweed Health Center on search us.
Yep.
So
search us
you
out.
You can follow us all with all of our articles that we post every day. So.
Yep. And thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
We always love it.
Thanks,
Bestie, for listening always. She's listened to all the shows. Holy cow, I haven't even listened to them. All right, thanks, folks. We love you. We'll see you next week with more crazy information. Come down and sign the petition at Tumbleweed Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Bye,
Belle.
Bye, Candace Kids.
Bye, Candace Kids.